Welcome to the Steady Hand Podcast. I'm Scott Ronalds, joined as usual with Tom Bradley. You'll have to excuse the frogs in our voices today, but the cold bugs made its way around Steady Hand. In today's session, we're going to review the first quarter of 2008. We've got our quarterly report in front of us, and clients of Steady Hand will have received this in the client portal section of the site on the 10th of the month. And for soon-to-be clients of Steady Hand, you can download this report from the forms and documents page of steadyhand.com. Well, Tom, it certainly wasn't a pretty start to the year in the markets. On that note, do you want to take it away?
Well, Scott, it was. It was an unusual quarter, and we're going to touch on it in a few minutes. But you had the foreign markets, Europe, Asia, down some country markets down as much as 20%. We had a credit crunch going on, all kinds of things. So in that context, let me just start off talking about our income funds. I won't spend any time on our savings fund, which is a very traditional money market fund, but let's just say that it did exactly what it was supposed to do. It stayed away from the toxic ABC paper that has been in the headlines for months and months, and delivered a return of 3.9%. So we're happy with how that's gone. The income fund, which is a bigger fund and a long-term fund that more of our investors are in, wasn't as good and was disappointing this year. And really, it did have a positive return. It was up 1.2% for the year, provided very nice distributions, 4.7% to unit holders that were in for the full year. But it lagged behind other sort of pure conservative bond funds, funds that have a lot of government bonds. And that's the reason is that it's designed around using a lot of corporate bonds, what we call credit. And also it complements the bond holdings with income equities, REITs, and business and utility trusts. And both the credit and the trusts were just very tough parts in the market and weighed heavily on this fund. So the design of the fund is part of the problem. But our manager, Connor Clark and Lund, is the first to admit that it was a tough year for them. They were a little too early in raising the credit weighting in the fund. They started doing that in late August when all the turmoil started, and clearly that was a little too early. So having said that, I think the main point, Scott, on this fund is that we're probably at a point where it's maybe a 10 or even 20-year opportunity in the corporate bond market. Very high-quality bonds are trading at significantly higher yields than government bonds. One of our best banks, TD or Royal, trading 2% above government, similar term government bonds. So as a result, we've got a fund that now yields 6.4% on a pre-fee basis compared to 3.4 for a similar government bond yield. I'll wrap up there, Scotty. I guess the one thing I'd say is that the fund now is positioned, we think, to provide some very good returns going forward, not only that ongoing yield, but to some capital appreciation, and that's because the fund now has 58% of its assets in corporate bonds, and that's complemented by 9% in REITs and 18% in business and utility trusts. So it's going to continue to provide that nice quarterly income. There's no issue with that. But we think there'll be some upside in the fund going forward as well.
We'll move on to the equity funds now, starting with the Steady Hand Equity Fund. As we mentioned at the outset, it was a pretty ugly quarter in the markets. Toronto was down just under 3%, but that was really the star in the developed world. If you look at the U.S., they were down. The S&P was down 10%, and European markets were down anywhere from 15 to 20%, with Japan off close to 20% as well. So certainly pretty ugly stuff on the surface. There were, however, some positives behind the scenes. You went to read about this in the headlines because all the journalists were having a heyday reporting on the earnings blow-ups in the financial sector. But outside of that sector, there was some pretty good earnings and some dividend increases, which is one of the issues that we highlight in the report. Some of the company or some of the fund's holdings actually had some pretty significant dividend increases. If you look at names like Rogers, they almost doubled the dividend, as well Shoppers Drug Mart, Tim Hortons, and Borg Warner all had pretty substantial dividend increases, and now have dividend yields that are pretty attractive, anywhere from 3 to 4%. The last thing I just wanted to leave you with in this fund is the positioning that CGOV did in the quarter. They didn't make a lot of changes to the overall names in the portfolio, but they did tinker with the weightings. They added to a number of the weaker performer holdings, mostly some of the foreign names like Sony, IDEX, Administaff, and CVS. Many of these names had a challenging quarter, but it was nothing really stock specific. It just had a lot to do with the overall negative sentiment in the global markets.
Well, the global markets clearly impacted our global equity fund. This is our fund that's out of the gate had the worst first year. It was down 18%. And I've got to tell you, it's very frustrating for us and our manager, Edinburgh Partners out of Scotland, because they were on top of it. They've carried a fair bit of cash, probably over the last 6 to 9 months, upwards of 15%, give or take. And they've been positioned with large holdings in some of the defensive sectors, particularly telecoms and healthcare, and they've also had some utility stocks at times. So, and these are sectors that typically are very defensive, and they hold up well in weak markets. And this just hasn't happened this time. So it has been frustrating, obviously, not only for our client returns and Laurie and my returns, but just for the reasons that it happened. Having said that, this is a manager that doesn't lose its nerve. That's why we hired them. And with the opportunities in the market, they've started to step up and use the cash in the fund and buy in what has been a very tough sector, financials. And so you see them adding to HBOS, Irish Life, Bank of America, and even a new holding in something that'll raise some eyebrows, and that's Citigroup. This is a global franchise, obviously one of the biggest financial institutions in the world that has just had a horrible time, and there's certainly questions about it today as of yet, but they've stepped up feeling that the downside is fairly limited and that the upside, when the corner turns, is going to be huge. So you now see Citigroup in the Global Equity Fund along with the other financial holdings. Just to close, I might contrast Citigroup to one of the other purchases, the new purchases this quarter, and that was Cisco. This is just a terrific technology company, really a leader out there, bulletproof balance sheet, etc. And I think it highlights the fact that Edinburgh Partners and our other managers are really style agnostic. They're not deep value, they're not growth, they'll go wherever they can find value on that spectrum. And they were adding to Cisco at the same time that they were buying what they thought was a very cheap Citigroup. The fund still has a fair bit of cash, 14%, so they've got more work to do as far as getting it invested. And we've highlighted the fact that they've raised the financials up to 22% of the fund, which is the largest sector. Even though the stocks were down, their purchases raised the level from about 20% at the end of the year.
On to the small cap fund now. This is really one of the funds that's raced out of the gates. It's up 10.5% over the past year, and when you compare that to the Nesbitt Burns Small Cap Index, which is down nearly 8.5%, it's really been a stellar year for the small cap fund. Will made few changes to the portfolio in the quarter. The 15 stocks in the fund remain intact. He did do some fine-tuning to some of the position sizes on price weakness. One name in particular that we highlight in the report is Vesima Networks. Vesima is a company that manufactures communications products that serve the broadband market. And the stock really had a tough quarter. It was down almost 25%, even though it reported great numbers and a strong outlook. The primary reason for the decline is that it was just stepped on by investors because it has poor liquidity. And by that, I mean it trades very lightly. The flip side of this, however, is that management owns a significant stake in the business. In Vesima's case, they own about 75% of the business. So that's a clear alignment of interests, and it's really an indication that management's going to do what it takes to build value for shareholders. And this is a metric that Will really pays close attention to and looks for in the businesses that he buys. He likes to find management teams that have a lot of stake in the business. One last thing I'll leave you with on the fund is that it's still primarily Canadian. It does only hold one U.S. stock, but that could certainly change in the coming quarters. Will does continue to look closely at 2 to 3 names. He's had his eye on a couple names for a few months now. Some of them have just gotten away from him from a valuation perspective, but we could certainly see 2 to 3 new names added to this fund in the coming quarters.
Scott, let me just wrap up this podcast by talking for a moment about we think our clients should be doing. We've made the point repeatedly through this broadcast that we've been very unusual times. And as a result, we think investors should be alert, but we don't necessarily think they need to make a lot of changes. Certainly within our funds, our managers are doing the work for all of you and for us here at Steady Hand, putting their cash to work, watching the markets carefully. The one area, though, that I think we all need to assess is on the asset mix. We've had a tremendous divergence of returns between things like our small cap fund on one extreme and the global equity markets in the other that have been down a lot. So I think it's important that people take a look at their portfolio, whether it's their assets at Steady Hand or elsewhere, and just make sure that it looks like it should look at this stage in the game, because there's going to be some terrific returns come out of foreign equities, as an example, corporate credit, I think REITs and income trusts, all areas that have been hit pretty hard over the last year, and we want to make sure our clients are positioned for those gains. This has been a podcast on the first quarter report of 2008. We'd love to hear your feedback, see whether this is of value to you as you listen to it. So please let us know, and we'll be back again next quarter.